start of the playoffs in the Division 1A, a bunch of de facto division championship games this week. We've got a lot to talk about on Prep Sports Now. Don't even have to resort to our normal cheap tactics of going off on rivalries that don't really exist except for in our heads, or going off on five-minute rants on defense. We won't have any of that today. Straight information, straight to the point. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. We're presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the wheel, hands on the road. You can listen to us on LasVegasSun.com as normal, or download us on iTunes. Search for Prep Sports Now. Brewer, where do you want to start?
There's a lot to talk about. We've got last week's games. We have all these great playoff games set up. Some really interesting playoff games in the Division 1A with Faith at Boulder City and Desert Ponds at Mojave. I really feel that it could go either way, for whatever it's worth, in my opinion.
The two games, Mojave and DP, you think can go either way?
I really do.
Mojave beat them by 12 the first time, I believe.
DP was winning in the second half.
And Faith and Boulder City.
A rematch from earlier this year.
Boulder City won pretty easily, right? Or am I misremembering the game?
I think you might be misremembering the game. I thought it was Actually, I think Boulder might have won pretty easily, but that was when Faith had just got back from that Colorado trip, so they were a little jet-lagged. So it's Mulligan City, if you know what I'm saying, for...
It's Mulligan?
Yeah, they get a Mulligan for it. They won 41-22.
Yeah, 41-22. You're telling me that's close? I don't give them a mulligan for it. They played it. Okay. I guess we're just disagreeing a little bit on these games because I think they could be good and entertaining and close. Mm-hmm. But I'll be stunned if Mojave and Boulder City each don't win. I think they're both the better team.
Okay, we're 2 minutes into the podcast. Let me tell you why I'm upset.
Uh-oh.
Why are we playing high school football on Thursday night this week? That's a question I'm asking.
We always play a couple weeks on Thursday night.
Okay, religious holidays I'm okay with. What I'm not okay with is Nevada Day, which is October 31st, which is what, a Tuesday this year or a Wednesday?
Tuesday.
So the kids are getting off for Nevada Day on Friday.
It's actually a Wednesday.
A Wednesday. Okay. Yeah. Nevada Day, October 31st, also my son's birthday, is a holiday. No problem. I love Nevada, born and raised here. Home means Nevada, home means the hills. But why do we have to give the kids a 3-day weekend to where they're off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for a holiday that's in the middle of next week? So now, here's how it affects high school football. All the games have to be played on Thursday this week. So if you're in the playoffs, Desert Pines, Mojave, Cheyenne, Pahrump, Moapa Valley, you've worked all spring, all summer, all season to make the playoffs, Case, right? Now it's finally here, and you've got to get everything done in a short week. You got to study film for a new opponent. You've got to, you know, do your pregame meal another day. You got to do your walkthrough another day. You get one less day to prepare, to run your plays, to practice. I just don't see the reward in that when it could be fixable. Reno plays on Friday. They're in the state of Nevada, even though I'm not happy about it. Right? They're playing on Friday. So now, making the playoffs is cool for two reasons. One, you get to extend your season, the obvious. But two, if you're one of those younger kids on the JV or freshman team that's good enough, you get promoted up to the varsity as a practice player to be on the sidelines, maybe to play at the end of the game. Well, now, instead of learning how varsity football works, you get this half week, basically. So you don't learn about varsity football. And people ask, why is Nevada high school football looked down on? Here's why it's looked down on. And yet another reason. Because we're playing on a Thursday, so people could have off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. God forbid we celebrate a holiday on the actual day it is. Hey, you know what, Case? Christmas is next month. Let's turn it into a 3-day weekend this weekend and take it off. Am I being too harsh, or do I have a valid
I think
point?
You are being too harsh.
You're wrong.
I'm not upset about this at all. Number one, I just remembered. I don't know why it was set up this way. I think we just always got a Friday off. In Kansas, where I played high school football, where I grew up, the first round of the playoffs was always on Thursday. You always had a short week. That was just built in. But part of the reason to defend it is, like, every team makes the playoffs. It's not that big of an accomplishment anymore. I'm sorry.
I don't disagree with you on that.
And, I mean, the one less day of preparation, would you like to have a full day of preparation? Sure. But, I mean, the last day is just a walkthrough anyways. I think that...
And the team meal, the pasta feed.
He's talking about the pasta feed.
On a Wednesday?
Well, just you just have to put in a little bit more on the Saturday or Sunday, which is unfair. But that's what I always did in high school, and I never had a problem with it. I did this for 4 years, and it didn't bother me.
Never once.
I think this is the type of thing that people that sit in a room and want to be mad about something talk about. Does it really matter? I mean,
it
maybe
does. It does matter. You're Mojave, right? You've been to the playoffs one time since 1996. You finally make it this year. Your team is loaded with younger classmen, kids who have never been there before, a coach who's never been there before. And what do you do? What's your reward? Well, now you got to figure it out on a short week. The kids who are – this is not a normal game come Thursday night. This is the playoffs. This is when you win, you go sing your fight song by the band, and when you lose, you got some coach with a clipboard collecting your gear. This is the playoffs.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Win in advance, lose and go home. And now you got to get it done in 4 days.
When half the teams that make the NFL playoffs are playing on a short week too. You're acting like this is some ridiculous thing that just happens in Nevada. I'm saying it happens in a lot of states. Think about the NFL. You clinch a spot the final Sunday. Half the teams play on Saturday in the first round. Is that a Bush League now too?
This is the NFL. They've been there before. This is not high school football. You got to be regimented. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm
right. Let us know what you think. I don't think it's a big deal. I think that you're going to have to do a little bit more work on the weekends. This is really bringing me back because I didn't even really think – I just didn't really have a problem with it when you said you wanted to talk about this today. I just thought, oh, whatever. I guess I'm kind of in the middle. But then I thought about it. We always played our first playoff game on Thursday, 4 years in
a row.
For
Nevada Day? You guys got Halloween
off? No, I don't know why we got it off, but we always got a Friday of school off, and it was always that Friday that was the first time of the playoffs. I actually think it was more the first week of November than the last week of October. But you always practice more on that Saturday and Sunday. You watch film on that Saturday, then have a full practice. Have a full practice Sunday.
Not here in Vegas. No way we practice on Sunday. That's the
okay. Well, maybe that's the difference. I don't know. I know we practice every day, and then we'd have a walkthrough Wednesday. It'd just be like a normal week.
Okay. Let me ask you another question, not to get off topic, but what was the team meal at Wichita Collegiate?
Some kind of pasta thing.
Pasta
just like
feed?
You said, yeah, we'd go to a Italian restaurant and get a ton of pasta.
Okay. I wonder who's
you called
got
it.
Who's got the best team meal in town here?
Yeah, that's something that we're not, I'd say we're not qualified to answer. Do you remember when Liberty shut out Silverado a couple years ago? Morocco took him to the buffet at the M.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. You don't remember that?
I don't. That's an expensive.
The entire team.
That's an expensive buffet. I'd love to take my wife there, but I'm not going to spend $40 for a buffet.
Oh, it's so good, though. It's worth it.
Is it? It's worth a $40 buffet?
I don't know if it's 40. I think it's like 32, 35.
Oh.
We should be getting an endorsement from the M Studio B buffet.
I mean, I can't even. Ever since they took the sodas out of the casino, I haven't been back. So, LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk is our radio show, not our podcast.
Good.
Anyways,
nice
I had to get off my chest. I feel a little different now. Let's briefly talk about the Gorman Centennial game you were at. I know a lot of people, Case, were shocked that Gorman gave up 20 points to Centennial. Break it down, baby. You were there.
Centennial played great. Is it possible to come away? Centennial played better than I ever would have expected. Gorman offensively was unstoppable. But defensively, I think they have some holes. Another thing, Gorman got called for like 16 penalties or something ridiculous. If they breathed on a guy the wrong way, they got penalties. I thought it was way overboard. And I know some Gorman people are saying the reason they scored 20 points is we had so many penalties. But I thought Centennial played great. Look, you can say Centennial scored on field goals a couple early when Gorman got back-to-back personal foul calls. But Centennial was really moving the ball in the second half. The Kobe Newton kid looked much better than the last time I saw him. Austin Turley was throwing the ball around really good. If Centennial plays like that, they can beat any team in town other than Bishop Gorman. I wouldn't be
better
surprised
than
if we saw
Arborview.
I'm not saying better. I said they can play. They can beat. They can beat. I mean, when I saw Centennial play Arborview, now granted, a lot of
you
this
weren't
is,
that impressed.
Yeah, a lot of this is what Arborview did, obviously, but Centennial did not look that great. I was kind of down on them. I didn't think they were that good, but they looked very good against Gorman. They were fired up. It was a good atmosphere. I mean, I don't know what else I can say. I thought Centennial, very impressed. And Gorman's offense, I don't know how you could not be impressed.
You were at the best game ever two or three Thanksgiving weekends ago, Gorman at Palo. Back and forth, scoreless until the end of the second quarter. Palo kicks the field goal with a little too much time on the clock, and Gorman scores that deflating touchdown to kill Palo's spirits and dominates him in the second half. Was Centennial's performance better than Palo's first half performance in what would be the 11 or 10 Sunrise Championship game?
Was that a better game than Liberty taking it to Gorman at the beginning of last year? I'm just asking.
Well, there's another – yeah, you could add that to the equation. I think the whole world was shocked when Capelli burst through the line and took it to the house against Gorman.
See, I would actually rank
on back-to-back possessions.
I would rank that one first, Liberty, because they didn't. Palo Verde came out in the game you were talking about 2 years ago and contained Gorman, and so it was 0-0. But Liberty just came out and just smacked them. They went up right away, right? So I would have the most impressive performances against Gorman, and Liberty also scored 28 points in that game. I think I would have Liberty last year 1. Palo 2 years ago 2, and this 3. I don't mean to take away from Centennial, but if you were watching the game, there was never any point where you thought Gorman might lose. You could have thought that watching this Palo game, and Palo playing great defense against him, or Liberty taking the ball up and down. Gorman, they punted on their first possession only after a long touchdown pass to Ryan Smith got called back. But that penalty, I complain about some of the penalties, but that penalty was legit. So they punt on the first.
Was it a holding penalty?
This is why I was trying to be vague, and another reason why I didn't even mention in my story, which I saw someone. I thought it was holding. I even wrote down it was holding, but then I was talking to, I think, either Starks or Sanchez, one of the guys I talked to after the game, and they mentioned, I think, that it was illegal formation. So now I'm confused of what it actually was, but no one, even the calls people were upset with, they weren't upset with this one.
Okay, anyways, penalty.
They had to punt on the first down. They had to punt on the first possession, but then Gorman just went up and down the field. The next five times they got the ball, so you never felt like Gorman was going to lose.
Is Centennial fired up? They forced a 3-and-out. Do they think they have a chance?
Oh, they were so fired up. I was on their sidelines, and it was like it was like they just got to the state championship game. They were celebrating so much. They were really fired up.
Liberty during last year's state semis is they thought they could beat Gorman, and you never see that. Usually, no matter – I could say, Case, I'm going to go beat Gorman. And you know what? I don't believe what I'm saying. I'm lying to you right now. A lot of times people are that way, and it just bows out. Okay, last question on that game. Tell me about the Anu Solomon leap. It's on YouTube, and everybody's talking about it on Twitter. The kid is sick athletically. Best I've ever seen at quarterback in Las Vegas.
And he's even better this year. He's gotten better. This is the first time I've seen him this year. He throws such a pretty ball. He actually had a kind of a rough start. I think he was 3 for 6, and then from there he completed, I think, 8 or 9 passes in a row, about half of them to Jameer Tillman, who's just really going off for the Gales this year. But anyways, the play you're talking about was, I don't remember if it was a busted play or a designed run, but pretty much he swept around the side, and some Centennial guy wasn't even really that low, but attempted to tackle him, and like a hurdle, I mean, Solomon just went right over him. It was so impressive. One of the coolest things I've seen in high school football this year. Unfortunately, flagged back for a penalty. The Centennial sideline started going crazy immediately, saying that's illegal, and sure enough, they got a flag. So I guess that's illegal in high school football.
Shout out to whoever got the video of that.
Oh, that video's great, too. Yeah. High quality.
Yeah, I mean, probably I would hope on the stand and in the sideline for that.
Yeah, it had to have been.
Had to have been. It was good work. In fact, we could use you maybe Saturday when we coach that basketball team.
Or do we want to film that?
I don't know. This Saturday, if you're not doing anything, Coronado High, 7 o'clock, Case and I will be basketball coaches, a group of Las Vegas area players, all-stars. We'll be playing Finley Prep in a fun little exhibition game. There's a 3-day jamboree of sorts for high school basketball, the unofficial kickoff. The best players from each team will come to Case and I. We'll give them some guidance. We'll put them in the right direction, and we'll go challenge Finley Prep. And if you guys want to come out and throw things at us or laugh at us or take a picture with us, we'll be there at Coronado Saturday night.
Heckle us.
Heckle us.
Hey, I have one more question for you about this Centennial Bishop Gorman game. Have you heard of this Centennial kid? I think he's a junior, Lance Worthington.
He's pretty quick, huh?
Dude, that kid is amazing. He's arguably had the best game of anyone on the field. And that's probably not fair to Nate Starks or Tillman or Solomon, but pretty much he set them up for the majority of their points. He returned two kicks. I think he had about 125, 130 yards on kick returns. Also had some big offensive plays. But I'm just wondering, why hasn't Centennial used him more? And maybe is he a weapon they've kind of saved to the end of the year?
No, in fact, he had that kickoff return for a touchdown against Paolo that arguably won the game for him right there before halftime. So he's not a secret.
Yeah, well, kick returns, but like the first time I saw him offensively, he didn't get that many touches. Against Gorman, he was more productive than anyone on their offense probably.
Well,
the four or five times he touched the ball.
You got to, and that's my big argument with high school football. You got to get the ball to the people that can run fast in space. Big time winners.
Yeah, I think they have a chance to pull an upset or two and get back to Gorman, especially with Lance Worthington running like that. Defensively, I still think they're a pretty good team. It's just unfair going against a team with as much offensive firepower as Gorman. It's unfair to judge them based on
okay,
that performance.
Okay, if Centennial and Arbor played in the semis, which is likely.
At Arbor,
who do you take?
I take Arbor. But I wouldn't be shocked if Centennial beat them. Unlike after the first time I saw that game. After the first time I saw Arbor at Centennial, I would tell you Centennial's not beating Arbor this year. Now that I've seen how Centennial could play against Gorman, I got to say Centennial has a real chance. And this is one thing, talking with Gorman coach Tony Sanchez. He said, look, I think Centennial might be the most dangerous team in town because they can do everything. He said all the other best teams in town, they either throw the ball really well, they run the ball really well, they don't really do both. He said Centennial showed us tonight they're really well-rounded. They can do anything. They can catch you off guard. They can throw the ball well, which they did against Gorman. Or they got some great running backs, Newton Kidd, of course, first, and also Worthington if they put him in there.
Yeah, it was fun. Definitely a fun night, no doubt about it. I was at the Moapa Valley Desert Pines game.
Which brought me up to $25 profit on the year on our podcast.
I have to take out a small loan to pay you back. Two things about Moapa Valley. Connor Mortensen, have you seen him play in person?
Not in a while, but
he's
yes.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Okay. If news came out today that UNLV offered this kid a Scholarly and he said yes, and he was going to even like gray shirt, I wouldn't think it'd be the end of the world for UNLV. I think this kid is a pretty good player, probably a 4.7, 4.8, 40 time, which makes him too slow to play D1 football, I guess. But he's the real deal, bro. Anytime he's on the field, offense, defense, it's like, uh-oh, watch out for that guy. Sean McConnell, did I say his last name right?
You did.
First time for everything. I wonder how many times that kid's been called McDonald in his career.
Probably not that often.
Every time by me.
McConnell is not that uncommon of a last name.
Dude, you know me with last names. McConnell is very good as well. Anytime either one of those two guys get the ball, you have the feeling they could take it to the house. Bottom line, they play great defense, and they're super organized, super well coached. They've got like 9 or 10 coaches on the sideline during the games, some in the box, and that is the difference when facing some of these other schools. They beat DP. They clinch home field through the playoffs. DP did make it semi-interesting late. They scored 14 unanswered, partially against Moapa's second string. They got fired up. They were playing. In fact, I think I called you and I said, I think Desert Pines figured it out a little bit there toward the end.
Desert Pines thinks that they can beat Moapa Valley if they play him again, right?
I think they do. After the game, I've never seen in 15 years of doing this, the losing team as excited as Desert Pines was. They ran to the end zone. They were fired up and ready to go.
How can you be fired up when losing by 30?
Because
I mean, not to
the
be
last
mean,
quarter,
but come on.
The last quarter of the game, they were the aggressor. They felt super good about themselves for the way they played. They moved the ball. They forced a few turnovers. They played some defense. Now, second quarter, Moapa scored 35. They pushed them around. It wasn't even close. But they do have a little positive momentum going their way. There's a potential they could meet in the semis at Moapa Valley. Moapa would win that game by 30. There's no doubt about it. And go from there.
Are you still on the Cheyenne train now that the playoffs are here?
I am debating the Cheyenne train. I Listen, I think Milo Lewis is such an elite player that he gives him a chance. The only way that Cheyenne and Moapa would meet would be in the state championship game.
Ooh, so who would have to beat Truckee?
Cheyenne would have to go up to Truckee, who, thanks to our boy Keith, lets us know that it snowed 6 inches last night.
And still coming down.
And still coming down. And Truckee beat Fallon, I believe, and they're the one seed. So that means they're going to have home field throughout the entire playoffs. So some poor team, likely Cheyenne, is going to have to go up there and play them.
I'm probably going to take Truckee in that game.
I would. There's no – if Cheyenne made it to Truckee, I'm not saying to beat them. If they got their entire team from North Las Vegas to Truckee, we ought to give them a trophy, because that's a heck of a trip for a team that's never had to do it before. And I'm betting some of those kids have never even been in snow before.
Lucky them. Lucky that's a good
them.
Thing.
Lucky them. Another thing that impressed me about Moapa Valley – on the sidelines during the game, you were mistakenly identified, by the way.
I heard. Everyone thought I was Adam Hill.
From the RJ. It's okay. You're about 200 pounds less than Adam Hill, give or take. Great guy, Adam. Love him. One of my best friends. The Moapa coaches and principal and guy who's keeping the score, cheerleading coach, whoever it is, all of them are keeping tabs on the Tahoe-Truckee game. They want to know all the scores up north. They want to know who's seated where, and they want to know who they're going to play. Desert Pines, who's new to the league, they have no idea what's going on. They couldn't even tell you three teams that are up north. And I think that's another difference why they have an advantage. Not that Moapa is better than Desert Pines, but they just are familiar with what they have to do to win state. Cheyenne is playing whoever's in front of them. They have no idea who they're facing. They don't know the difference between Fallon, Fernley, Truckee, pick your favorite small Nevada town. But they do have Milo Lewis, who, as much as I liked Mortensen and I thought he was the real McCoy, I still think Milo Lewis is so special. So special, I told somebody who emailed me, Case, would Cheyenne, you answer me this truthfully, don't think about it, would Cheyenne make the playoffs without Milo Lewis?
I'm going to say yes, but probably the four.
Okay. Well, Pahrump and Clark and Western are in that league.
Yeah, probably so, the three, yeah. Actually.
Okay, that's a bad – that's an unfair question.
Yeah.
That's an unfair question. I apologize. Okay, do you want to get on to the picks, or do you got anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I guess we should get on to the picks. But I mean, we got three huge games this week. Shouldn't we talk about them a little bit more extended? I mean, should we just start?
No, I agree with you, okay. Especially since the picks I sent you, I misspelled Donnell Pumphrey's name.
Oh, that's nice. That's about the amount of respect you're giving him all year.
Yeah.
Misspelling his name.
And B, I forgot the Arbor Palo game.
Oh, God. All right. Well, the big three. Let's just talk about the big three. Liberty Basic, pretty much for the Southeast title. Not officially, but whoever wins that's winning the Southeast. I will go ahead and be bold enough to say it right now. Green Valley and Canyon Springs to see who wins the Northeast, even though Green Valley's not in the Northeast, but that's a topic for another day.
Hell of an effort by the people who named the leagues.
Good Arborview work. And Palo Verde for the Northwest. No surprise here. We looked at the schedule at the beginning of the season, and we thought that's what this game would come down to. I mean, all three of these games are great. Which one are you looking forward to the most?
You know, I'm really intrigued by the Basic Liberty game. I say that because Nico Capelli is banged up and expected to play, but still banged up. And Basic's Boyd and Johnson provide a significant challenge for anybody they face. Now, Green Valley cracked the code. I don't know if it could get cracked twice. I think ultimately Liberty, like it's done the past two or three years with Basic, is just going to push them around up front. There should be no doubt in Liberty's mind that the best way to beat Basic is to just line up and out-muscle them into the ground. But I am intrigued because I think Basic, with those two athletic players, they could get hot, and if they get a lucky turnover, a mental mistake, which Liberty, I guess, is prone to do at times, I think they could shock the world. If you told me Basic, I think they have a chance.
I bring this up every week, but when we talked about this at the beginning of the year and I said Basic would have a chance to beat them, you laughed at me. You heckled me the rest of the show, and now you're saying they have a chance.
Not much of a chance, but they do have a chance.
All right, I got to be
honest. Listen, I told Cahill I told anybody willing to listen at Basic, Toby and Woody or whoever I talked to 2 weeks ago.
I don't think it was Toby.
It was Christian and Woody, maybe.
Christian and Woody.
I told those guys that Liberty punches them. Liberty punches Basic in the mouth. There's no question about it. If you were at any of those games the last 2 or 3 years, Team Patriots pushed Team Wolves back every play. First string, second string, JV freshman, whatever it was, thorough butt-kicking physically. That's not a secret. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great game, and it would have been probably the best game of the week the last couple weeks, but I got to rank it behind the other two. I'm really pumped up for the other two games.
It's kind of like a UFC fight night, right? It's a good fight, but it's not the main event. It's kind of like, you know.
It's on the pay-per-view.
It's on the pay-per-view, yeah.
Palo Verde and Arborview, one of the better rivalries, one of the better new rivalries in town, I think you could say, the last 3 years. These two schools run the same offenses, of course. Don't really like each other. Arborview has never beaten Palo Verde. This year it seems like they have the better team, even though Palo Verde may have the best players with Bouye and
Griggs.
Lee Griggs. So I think that one's great. And then, look, the Green Valley Canyon Springs game. All year, Canyon Springs was the favorite. No one thought they were going to lose in the Northeast. Green Valley, with all these sophomores and juniors, comes on, looks great. One of the most impressive teams in town. I said a surprise team was going to win this Northeast.
You just had the wrong surprise.
Unfortunately, I had the surprise team being Silverado, who's going to be the fourth.
Can I just get it real fast?
I should have said Green Valley.
Could I get a Sea Springs from you?
Sea Springs?
Sea Springs!
Yeah.
I love those guys. Let me start with the Arbor Palo game.
Okay.
Boy, and I had an interesting point to make, Case.
And now you forgot it.
Boy, a really good point. Oh, the best point of the day. You know why this game's important, Arbor Palo?
Why?
Because Friday night we'll know when Gorman Palo is.
Is it for sure happening?
I think if Arbor wins, then Palo.
If Arbor wins, it's going to happen because Palo's the two, and they would play Gorman in the next
semis,
round, right?
But would they match up with Legacy in the opener? Because I think Legacy could beat Palo.
Legacy's playing great.
They're
defensively,
playing great.
I think
after the disaster that was the 7-0 spanking by Gorman.
After that,
see, Legacy's the three, and they're solidly the three. And hold on, though. Hold up. If Legacy and Centennial are 3-1 in league,
mm-hmm.
they're playing Friday night. Winner gets the 2 seed.
True.
That could be a good game.
Yeah, that could. That's another big
Centennial
game.
Centennial with the Gorman hangover. But if Palo took second, they would have to play Legacy in the first game. And I don't know if they beat Legacy. That would be a real good game.
I think they do beat them, but it would be close.
Okay.
Legacy's got a chance.
Nonetheless, the winner would be give us our Gorman-Palo game at Gorman 3 weeks from Friday night, right?
But
Unless they decide they want to play on a Wednesday.
Even if Palo wins, they got to play Centennial probably in the second round.
If Palo wins, they'd have to play Centennial in the second round. To get to Gorman, I mean,
yeah,
and
there's
we
some road
get,
bumps to Palo yeah. Gorman happening. I know
and
it
let's
would
be
break
honest with you. I know that we talk about the cleat game, which is great because Shap won, baby. The bone game, which I was surprised with the turnout for both sides. The Henderson Bowl, where I think both teams get so excited. It makes me so happy, and it's the best of the best. But there's nothing like Palo Gorman, baby. There's nothing like it. Two great programs. So close to each other. The kids know each other. The rivalry. I don't care if Gorman's won 4 or 5 or 9 straight years in a row. You go back to that one butt kicking Palo gave him in Altshulers last year, and that rivalry is sparked and good forever. And I think that is the best game. I'd rather see Palo Gorman play 10 times than Gorman play anybody else, including Servite or whoever they play every year.
If Palo does play Gorman, I'll make a bold prediction right now. They don't keep it as close as Centennial did on Friday.
I would
I think right now,
Gorman has been good. There's a reason Gorman's been so good the last 4 years, and he wears jersey number 12. He organizes the offense. Gorman's always going to be able to run the ball because they're going to be bigger and stronger than whoever they play up front.
Nathan Starks broke about 50 tackles against Centennial.
Beastly. Dude, does that kid look like he's old enough to go buy beer? Seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
So well-defined muscles.
Not saying we think Nathan Starks likes to go buy beer.
No, and you disclaimer. And I are non-drinkers, for
yeah,
the
we're
record.
Not drinkers, yeah.
Yes, and we never would get in a car and drink and drive, for the record.
Or text.
Or text, yes. But Gorman's always going to be able to run the ball. I don't care if it's Nathan Starks or Bob Smith III.
Shaq Powell.
Whoever.
Vic Bellin.
Tajon Allen. Whoever it is.
I'm trying to remember all the Gorman running backs since I've been here. It's pretty much been those three that I just named.
Jordan Welty. Yeah. Remember that guy? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Whoever the Gorman tailback is going to be good because that line is big, strong, and physical, even if this is quote-unquote a down year, right? But the fact that they have that running game parlayed to the quarterback. Smith and Solomon have been thrown. They might have thrown Smith to Solomon as might have happened more than any other combination we've seen in Nevada State history. Smith, just because he's been on varsity so long, has more touchdowns than anybody else receiving, I think, in Nevada history, at least large school history.
I think Tillman has more receptions this year, though.
No, Tillman's had a better year. In fact, Tillman, you could argue, plays better in big games sometimes. But I'm just saying Tillman's a three-year varsity guy, too.
Yeah.
Look how good that passing attack is. Now, next year, no Tillman, right?
Cunningham looked really good against Centennial when he came in, too.
Cunningham is very athletic. But I think having Solomon there, he's a great player.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he's lost four games in 4 years.
First ballot, Southern Nevada Hall of Famer, if there is such thing.
And I will tell you this. The Hall of Fame is going to have a hell of a time on its hands. How do you handle the Gorman era, right? Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame, because you got to put in Tony Sanchez. Whenever they get around to it, he's available. He's in right away. Changed high school football in Las Vegas. Love him or hate him, the man changed the way high school football is played in Las Vegas. That simple. Darwin Ross should go into, before Tony. Darwin is the godfather of football coaches. God bless him. Okay, when do you put in Solomon? When do you put in Shabazz Muhammad? Right? What about MB Park, the golfer? She wins like every weekend on the women's PGA Tour. Right? Gorman baseball, they win freaking Legion championships. They win 6-7 straight.
Jada Brown going to KU from Centennial.
Yeah. No, but how do you, if you're the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame and your Hall of Fame is made up of mostly non-high school people, how do you handle what's going on at Gorman High? Especially since there's a big contingent of folks out there that don't like him. Grant Rice, does he deserve to go in? Who deserves to go in more, Grant or Dave Rice, right now?
In the high school Hall of Fame?
No, the Southern Nevada, the one that's at the mall, that they have the thing every year at the
right
Orleans.
Now, Grant Rice.
Grant Rice. So it's a tough – anyways, let's get back to the games.
All right, yeah, we got to get to the picks.
Can we get to the canyon?
We are running
okay,
long
go ahead.
Today. We kind of got to it. Hey, I did want to ask you one question about Green
ask
Valley.
Away.
But maybe – no, let's wait when we get to the games. We got to knock out some of these picks.
Okay.
All right, first round game.
Oh, hold on. Instigator Nation, I'll be at your house, baby, Thursday night. I can't believe Thursday. Go ahead.
All right. Pahrump Valley at Moapa Valley. Moapa Valley is going to destroy Pahrump Valley. It's not going to be close.
I agree with you. Shout out, though, to Pahrump Valley case for making the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
Quite an accomplishment. Real fast on Moapa. They've won 9 straight. They've outscored opponents 476-69, and they've scored at least 45 a game. Mind you, they're putting in the second team for most of this. I think Moapa Valley, this could be their year to go because they're going to get Truckee at Gorman. This could be their year to get it done.
They're winning the state championship. I've said it all year.
They've
I'm
been
sticking
in
by it. I think they'll. This is better than the teams that have lost.
They,
the last
they've
couple
been
of
in
years.
The state championship game the last 6 years. Look at this photo, dude. Here's Connor Mortensen carrying the ball in Arizona. Does he not look like a freight train coming down the tracks?
Looks like a college player.
He looks like. I think he. Listen, if Coach Houck is listening, it wouldn't hurt you to take a kid like this. Is he a D1 running back? No. Could he play that? Could he gray shirt? Spend a year and a half lifting and become a D1 player as an H-back or a tight end or maybe even a safety?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Okay, I was going to compare another player to somebody else. We'll talk. We got all. We're going to talk Moap in the next 3 or 4 weeks. This is not the blue and gold report.
We've only got one of 20 games. So
okay,
far,
next
so
game, baby.
On.
Here we go.
Faith Lutheran at Boulder City. I can't believe you only have Boulder City winning by 4. Do you want to get further in the hole and be down $30 by making this our game of the week?
Well, here's the deal. Listen, I picked Boulder City to win. Good running always beats good passing. Control the line of scrimmage, control the clock. Boulder runs a lot. Faith can't run. But Faith passes really well. I think Faith, if you look at their two losses that were bad this year, the turnover disaster against Mojave and this Boulder City game, which they played in Denver on a Saturday, had to travel back, and then Friday they're in Boulder. It just, they didn't have their legs. This is a different Faith team, okay? And this is a new experience in the playoffs for everybody on the field. I think this game's going to be close. I would have to get double digits, though, to take it.
Well, what game do you feel more confident in? Because I think these next two are the two we're going to disagree the most. Do you feel more confident in Desert Pines over Mojave?
Oh, yeah. I think Desert Pines covers. They're right now, you smack those kids in the mouth. It was like Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in the 12th round against Sergio Martinez. They got beat up for 11 rounds, and in the 12th round, they looked good, and they felt like they won the whole fight.
Hopefully, they weren't high like Julio Cesar
Chavez Jr.
I like Mojave in this game. Mojave.
Who are you picking in the Faith BC game?
I'm taking BC big. Okay. I already told you that.
Big. Okay.
I think they're like a 12-point favorite.
Ooh. I would take plus 12.
All right, $5.
I mean, I'm down so much. I don't even – I'm taking a week off. I got to go talk to somebody.
I'm taking a week off. Come on.
At GA. Okay.
Get to Ray Brewer and give him some
I need some money.
All right, Desert Pines and Mojave. Here's what I want to say about Mojave. I feel like all year you've been skeptical of them, and I can't understand why. This team lost 3 games all year. Now, they lost one, I think, because they had to give an eligible player maybe.
No, Mojave, not Mojave.
Oh, I thought so.
Shadow, yeah. Mojave's been good all year.
Okay, well,
let me ask you this with Mojave, Case. How many penalties do they average a game, and how many penalty yards do they average a game?
I don't know. You tell me.
A lot, like 15 penalties for 130 a game.
All right, even with
Delgado will correct me if I'm wrong. On average, at least it seems like. Also, what is Mojave made up of right now? Its team is full of
sophomores, juniors.
Have they played in the playoffs before?
I don't care if they played
know
in the
what
playoffs.
To expect?
Look at their results. They can be undefeated right now. The 3 games they've lost are by 3 points to Cheyenne, who you think is better than Gorman.
I love Cheyenne. Myla Lewis.
They
is
lost
the
by 3 points to Boulder City, 2 points to Cheyenne, and by 6 points to Virgin Valley in overtime. 2 overtime losses
to
and
Virgin
a loss by
Valley?
A field goal. In overtime when D. Bowler was still healthy.
At Mojave, they lost the Virgin Valley.
In overtime.
Dude, Shap should have beat Virgin at Virgin.
Your point?
I'm telling you right now, I don't know, bro. Listen, Mojave, I'm not taking anything away from them. God bless it. I'm not taking anything away from them. I don't know, bro. I just don't see him winning this game by 50 like you think.
50? I think they win by 7. I think they win by a touchdown.
Okay. And also, the Wilkes kid for Desert Pines didn't play last week.
Ooh, that'll be big getting him back if he's back this week.
I mean, how often has Desert Pines had all of its good guys in the field? And I will tell you this, and you can't dispute this, Desert Pines is 100 times better up front. Would you agree with me? And how many times has Malik Davis and Wilkes played on this at the same time this year? Well, I don't know. I'm taking DP. That's all I say.
You may have a point. I am finding that Mojave, according to the NIAA, maybe had to forfeit against the win against Sunrise Mountain. So I didn't just make that up.
Mojave football?
Yeah.
This year?
I think so.
Did they even play Sunrise
Mountain? Ineligible
Mountain?
Player after they won. Had to give up the win.
Did they even play Sunrise Mountain?
Yeah, they won, but then had to lose because they used an ineligible player.
I didn't know about that.
I thought you were the one that told me about it, but now I find out otherwise, now that I'm just finding some Google results about it. But anyways, all right.
Did we write a story about it?
I'm not finding your story, but I could have sworn you told me about it, and that's how I knew.
They didn't. Well, they beat Sunrise Mountain 25-12. What's that say about them? 25-12 against Sunrise Mountain?
There you go. All right, well, we'll move on. Virgin Valley and Cheyenne.
See, that's the thing. The school system never tells us if anybody forfeits a game. You know why? Because the RJ keeps the standings. So, and I've had this discussion with Ray Mathis and Pam Sloan. It'd be nice to know these things. But, you know, the best way for us to find out, not through the NIAA, whose job it is to inform the media, it's through the RJ. Because if anybody standing-wise has to forfeit, it goes through them. So congratulations.
I just thought you told me about that. Obviously, I was wrong.
The hell do I know? Sunrise Mountain now has two real wins. Good for them. Go ahead, next game.
Virgin Valley at Cheyenne. Virgin Valley is pretty good for a four seed. They played the whole end of the season without D. Bowler, who's by far their best player. He's back now. I love talking to David Cochran from Cheyenne. He said something along the lines of, we know this Virgin Valley team is good, but they got to come to our house. That got me fired up. That got me ready to play. I think Cheyenne wins, but I think it's much closer than 54-12, which is what you have it.
I like Milo Lewis. You know, he's got to be getting bored running against all these kids. That's all I got
to doubt
say.
That he's getting bored. I think he likes scoring touchdowns.
I'm interested to see him run in the snow against Tahoe Truckee, though.
All right, next game, Canyon Springs at Green Valley. Here's what I wanted to ask you about Green Valley. That's throwing me for a loop here. Maybe I'm just wrong about this, and it's always been like this. But since when did Green Valley become blue? When I first came here, I thought they were all green. I barely even recognized them when I covered them at the Vegas game. They're wearing blue helmets, blue pants, or blue
on the
pants.
They were always green and blue. They were like,
yeah, but now there's no green. Now it's all blue.
Royal blue and green, right?
Yeah, but I feel like when I covered them once, you know, 3 years ago, they at least had some green. Now it's all blue. Why aren't they Blue Valley?
Well, even like Gorman, they've got the dark blue now when they used to be a different shade of blue.
At least it's not Blue Gorman. It's Green Valley. We got to get some green in the uniforms, right?
Oh, listen, take it up with Castro. Call him up and tell him.
I think that's a bad idea.
Okay, the Northeast championship game.
Correct.
Green Valley, Canyon Springs. I'm taking C Springs. I'll take the best player on the field, which is Danell Pumphrey. Green Valley has been great offensively, defensively, with coaching. I think one of Green Valley's weaknesses is its overall team speed. No secret, I've said it multiple times, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's correct. Archive show, go check. I think that Donnell Pumphrey, who is the real deal, DJP, he's going to just excel. Get the kid the ball in space and go for it. Now, with that said, Canyon's going to have to play near-perfect game to get it done. But I got him winning 35-31, back and forth, fight to the end. I'll take the speed of Donnell Pumphrey to the house.
Do you know why I'm way ahead of you in the picks? Or not way ahead, but a few games?
Because
you keep taking the best player, I keep taking the best team. I'll give you Green Valley, who's a better team.
Are they a better team?
Yes, they're clearly a better team, in my opinion.
Because Canyon should have beat Paolo, right?
From what we hear.
Okay, and Canyon put up you were at the Canyon Liberty game?
Yes.
Were they lucky to be in that game, or did they only win by like two or three?
It could have been more. I think Liberty beat them worse than the final score indicated, in my opinion.
Okay.
If I remember right.
I mean, Green Valley, great story. They put it to Rancho last week. Everybody has put it to Rancho, though. In fact, Green Valley gave Arborview a run for its money, and I know Arborview was a little surprised. I just don't see him beat. This is Canyon Springs League to lose. I'm going with the champions with the best player. Now, if DJ Pumphrey wasn't there, I would take Green Valley by 30.
All right, I got the Gators, and it'll just be another game we disagree on. Valley at Las Vegas. Las Vegas should definitely win this game, but hey, Valley gave Silverado a good run. Silverado and Vegas look extremely even. I believe Vegas beat them in the final second, so why shouldn't this one be close too?
Because it's senior night at Las Vegas High.
It's too bad you're not taking any action on this one, as I would take points with Valley for sure.
How many points?
16.5.
16?
Yeah, 16.5. I don't want any pushes.
You're like a guy who's going to break my legs. I mean, if I'd give you 12. I would take Vegas minus 12.
No, we're trying to get you help, remember? We okay. Can't do any.
Okay.
I think Vegas wins, but it's a close game. Silverado at Rancho. Silverado should just clean up with Rancho.
I will shout out to Alex Cater, the Silverado tailback. He had 5 touchdowns, 300-plus rushing yards. against Vegas last week. It seems like every week he's carrying the rock 40-plus times. Kid's like a Ford F-150 truck going through the tracks, baby.
Liberty is going to basic, but I think that they're not going to have many problems. I got Liberty winning probably by 2-3 touchdowns.
Why is that, Case?
I think they're better defensively. I don't think basic's going to be able to stop them, and I guess that's two pretty good reasons.
Okay, I agree with you. I think that this game is definitely going to be won in the trenches, and I think Liberty is good there.
All right, El Dorado and Foothill. I've got Foothill winning this one pretty big, even though both these teams are in down years and going to be the bottom two spots in the Southeast.
Yeah, I think Foothill wins this game, and they get into the playoffs as the four seed. And I don't know if I'd want to play Foothill in the playoffs because they can't stop anybody. They could score with the best of them, and that would be a very interesting game.
At the beginning of the year, you sat here and guaranteed me that Del Sol would be better this year. Did not turn out that way. They got Coronado this weekend. I think Coronado is going to win big.
They will, too. I was wrong on Del Sol. They're defensively, they're pretty bad. In fact, I don't know who's worse defensively, Foothill or Del Sol. But nonetheless, I was wrong, and I'll admit it.
All right, Durango and Shadow Ridge. You have this being a pretty close game, but I like Durango pretty big. I feel like you're not giving Durango credit lately. You thought it was going to be a close game with Spring Valley, too.
Well, it's just Durango against teams that are they're on par with, they seem to be pretty good. Teams they're not on par with, like Arbor maybe, they're not that good. I just think that Shadow's going to put up a little bit of a fight. This is the win to avoid Gorman game. And I think that the significance of that will shine through. Durango hasn't been stout defensively at all, and I think Bakari Smith might have a day, my opinion.
All right, the game that I know you're dying to talk about, Arbor View at Palo Verde. I think you can go either way. There's valid reasons on both sides, but who do you like?
I've really been torn on this because the Ray Brewer that has this problem would say, I'll take the best player on the field, which is Ryan Bouye and Palo Verde. But I just think this is Arbor's year to finally break that Palo Verde curse. I know they've beaten Palo on the lower levels, and this is one of the only schools in town where that means anything because they keep their kids on the freshman-sophomore track moving up. And I think that it's going to be a back-and-forth game. I just think Arbor is the better team. Centennial beat Palo. Arbor beat Centennial, and I think Arbor beats Palo.
Would I be a hypocrite if after I've said Arborview might be the second-best team all year, picks them to win all year? Would I be a hypocrite if I went Palo here?
I love Palo. I want to pick Palo. I really do. I think that, I mean, Bouye is going to be, he is, man, he's as good as a, here's the deal, though. This game, there might be four passes the entire game.
It's good news for me. It'll be over quicker.
Yeah, good news for you. You'll be at the Arbor-Palo game. I'll be at the Green Valley Canyon game. And our other reporter, Paul, will be at the Liberty Basic game. Who are you taking officially? I want this on the
You record. Never answered my question. If all I've talked about how good Arbor is all year, pick him to win the division at the beginning of the year, and I think you pick Palo because mm-hmm. you weren't sold on our review at the beginning. Would I be a hypocrite if now I turn around and pick Palo?
Oh, no, you're allowed to be a hypocrite.
I like the situation for Palo. I feel like they're playing well. I think they're going to be super. I think they're going to be even more motivated than our review in this game. I think our review is going to have a little bit of nerves. They've never beaten this team. They're going there. I may just pick Palo Verde. I may have to do it.
Well, I mean, do what you got
to
do.
I'm kicking myself because I picked Arborview to win all year, but I'm switching
it
right now.
At least you can't be wrong, though, right?
I'm taking Palo Verde by, you know, a point or two.
Okay.
Palo Verde in an upset. You got to pick an upset every now and again. Let's finish this off. None of these games I think we'll disagree on, although one good one left. Spring Valley at Sierra Vista.
Spring Valley at Sierra Vista. I kind of shocked myself here. I take Sierra Vista. Last game of the year for both teams. Sierra Vista has scored on Palo and Arbor. In fact, they led Palo, And I am picking them to win again.
All right, I thought we wouldn't disagree. I guess that was premature because I've got Spring Valley in this game. Let's move on to Desert Oasis and Bishop Gorman. The only question is, how much does Gorman win by?
I think it's going to be a lot. Desert Oasis is not that good right now. And Gorman is going to start getting some of its ones regular play into the second half to get ready for the playoffs. This could get ugly.
Gorman's ones played the entire game at Centennial, at least in both positions.
They're going to play the entire game.
They were saying it was the first time since Bergen Catholic that a bunch of them didn't come out.
Okay.
All right, well, Centennial at Legacy. I want to go with the upset here, too, but Centennial, after the way they played last week, I can't go against them. I'm going to say Centennial wins a fairly close matchup.
I think it's going to be real close, and Centennial is going to have to be on guard because if they think they could just go in there and beat them, it's going to be a rude awakening. I think Legacy is really good, and I would hate to play Legacy in the playoffs.
If Legacy wins, your Gorman hangover theory is etched into stone.
Okay.
There's absolutely no reason it's not true, right?
You're right. You're right again, Case.
Cimarron at Bonanza.
God, Bonanza's been real bad this year. I'll take Cimarron.
All right, I'll go Cimarron too. That wraps it up for Prep Sports Now. We'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening.